Blog Talk Radio.
I'm out of time and all I got is 4 minutes. 4 minutes, I'm out of time and all I got is 4 minutes. 4 minutes, I'm out of time and all I got is 4 minutes.
Good morning, people.
Good morning, Miss Corey. How are you?
Ooh, girl, this is like the morning that would not end. I haven't even taken a five-hour energy, and I'm already having to be in high gear. Imagine what I'd be like if I had actually taken a thing. I didn't take it last night, by the way.
Wow. Yeah, because I know you said you were going to.
Yeah, and I got about 3 hours sleep. I'm still good.
Very nice.
At least until after Pixie Nisa tonight, then I'm going to pass the hell out.
I know.
Oh, people, don't love me so hard today. Don't love me so hard, really.
I love her harder. Love her harder.
If you're going to love me harder, knock me out. Ooh. And then my phone kept beeping. My alerts were, my alerts are not set. I told y'all I'd usually turn my phone so that it goes off. I'll go offline of everything around, you know, 1 to 2 in the morning. Not this time. That phone was dinging all through the night and into my 3 hours of sleep with E3 news. Yes.
E3 news. Oh, my God. Yeah, I didn't get to watch all of it yesterday, but I did get to watch a good portion of it. And for the most part, there was only two or three things I was actually excited about that I saw.
It's kind of
boring. Everything else, I was kind of like, this has been done.
It's kind of boring this year. Nobody really wowed us or knocked us out of the park.
Okay, I can't say that completely. Beyond Two Souls, I want to play that.
What was the one?
So badass.
What was the one that you showed me last night? I told you was reminding me of Shadowrun.
That one is Watch Dogs.
Watch Dogs looks interesting. It is Shadowrun-esque, but not completely. It doesn't look like you have a team, so that may be where they avoid getting sued. But and of course, I guess I should let the other two podcasters know that Blaster has decided we need to do an hour and a half show Thursday night so that we can fit in some E3 stuff.
That is fun by me.
He says, we can protest. You know, we don't really have to talk during the week, but I think he was on with me really late this morning, so I know he is dragging butt. He's really dragging.
Yeah, because I left, and y'all were still at it.
We were still talking during the time I was doing the website. Then he left, and then I was still at it. That was around 3 or 4 this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. See, our people here got dedication. We hardcore.
Yeah, totally.
We don't even sleep. That's how much we love bringing you the gaming news in the morning.
Exactly.
It's hot.
It is so hot. It is hot. No, can I talk a little bit about Aether, about what I saw?
Yes, please do, because I'm about to choke anyway, so go ahead.
All right. So I came in, I guess, at the Ubisoft press conference, or right after. And I did watch the EA one as well, I'm fairly certain. I don't remember what they had. That's how unimpressed I was. What I was watching last night, I guess it was 9 o'clock our time when I was watching it. Anyways, they had Two Souls. Beyond Two Souls, really awesome game. It's got the chick protagonist. She's amazing. She has some kind of weird ghosty thing following her around, and she's kicking ass all over the place. We're talking there's explosions and lights and creepiness, and she's cool. I love that. The Smash Brothers one, all right, hold on, that's not what it was. It was PlayStation All-Stars something or other. I don't remember the name off the top of my head now. I'm not quite awake yet. That one was Smash Brothers all over.
Yeah, you guys were saying that last night when we were chatting offline.
So much of this, it was like, I mean, we got more fighters, more shooters coming out. Ooh-hoo, because, you know, we don't have enough military shooters.
Oh, of course. We need at least 60 or 70 more of those. We need Modern Warfare 8 to go ahead and just come
exactly.
on.
Exactly. And you remember, what was the game we played recently where we could see the people behind the crates?
Oh, yeah, Ghost Recon. I'm done
Ghost Recon. Yes, they had that in this new one that's coming out that they were showing at E3, where you could see the people behind the crates, behind the buildings.
Why don't y'all just put the guns in the hands and just tell people to stand there and shoot each other? Because that's too easy.
I know, right? That's exactly what I was throwing a fit. If y'all want to look up on my Twitter, I cinch-casted all of this last night. My thoughts are actually a little more clear last night. This morning, they're a little foggy.
And when we are done upgrading, we will actually have those on the site. You'll be able to go pop by and have them all in one place, because I know they're a little hard to follow directly on Twitter unless you were right there watching at the time. I tell you, okay, I'm a little interested in Watch Dogs. It's got hacking in it. That's always a favorite of mine. What really set me off to where I was in here screaming at the screen was Splinter Cell. For one, I do believe Michael Ironside has either left the franchise or they've gotten rid of him. And if you don't know who Michael Ironside is, probably you're extremely young, because he was in all the 80s movies. He's in RoboCop and Total Recall. You know, he's in all the 80s movies. He's the bad guy, proverbial bad guy. And he's also the voice of Sam Fisher. Now, he does not look like Sam Fisher, but his voice is killer. So I'm looking at this, and I don't hear Ironside speaking, which is upsetting. I watch it, and they keep saying, oh, they're showing us cutscenes, their movie scenes, whatever you want to call them, from the game, and it's during the daytime, and basically Sam Fisher has turned into Ghost Recon. He's just walking in, shooting people, and snapping necks, and anybody who remembers the original franchise, it was all about stealth. When Sam Fisher went in, it was because nobody else could do it but him. He went in under the cover of night, and when you played, you felt the whole I'm the lone hero and I have a job to do. You felt accomplished because you could not just run in and run and gun. You had to find ways around these 85 guards that are in the yard. And they were the first people to ever do this, and nobody has done it since. In the multiplayer, when they released, I want to say it was I'll keep saying Chaos Theory, but I'm not sure if it was Chaos Theory that had this, where your gameplay with your headset actually affected the game, meaning if you and I were playing Gender, the AI in the game could hear us. We couldn't talk if we were standing next to them.
Oh, wow, that is so cool.
Nobody else has done it since. Nobody has taken advantage of the fact that we have headsets and mics. And I remember the first time playing this, you know, you were a snake came in under the door, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go out. And then the guard turns around, somebody's talking. Do you hear that? And I was like, does he hear us? And he says, somebody's talking. And he busts up in the door. I was like, oh, my God, get the book, get the manual. Pause, get the manual. And turns out, yeah, they can hear you. Nobody has done that. And it was one of the coolest things ever. It added a whole element of now we really have to work together. And I'm whispering, okay, you go over there. Buy that box. That plant. And nobody has done it. And then they have completely ruined my Splinter Cell franchise. The last one was, you know, as I said, if you go to our site, Splinter Cell for Dummies, I don't need you to tell me where to hide or where to climb up, because, again, that's part of the game. You had infinite ways you could play a level. You know, maybe you could maybe do a little run and gun, but it was dangerous. You had to disappear really quick after you ran in and shot people and hide and stay hidden until, you know, things calmed down again. But that is completely gone from the last one. And this one here, all I see is him on a rooftop, and he's like, I'm like, this is so, Sam, pick up your box. Just go.
Yeah.
It's over. It's over. I'm keeping the jewelry, Sam. That's how mad I am. I'm keeping the night vision goggles. I'm done.
I have to say the one thing, there was one game, well, yeah, okay, one game that really kind of cheesed me off, irritated me. They talked about reinventing the storybook. You get a book, and you're playing with the PlayStation Move, and, you know, you use the wand, and you can turn the book, and on your screen, you get to see, you know, different pop-up things that would be on the book, but it's not actually there, and they're talking about reinventing the storybook. Hello, can we not do that? I don't mind ebooks. Ebooks are awesome. But when you take the story and you put it on a screen, no, that defeats the purpose of what books are for.
Yes, it should be to teach kids to read.
Yes, to read, to escape into a world not of their own. It's not pixels. Well, all right, maybe if it's in an ebook, it's pixels, but it's different. It's your imagination.
Oh, I stand corrected. Horace is saying that they do have that voice feature, and is it FIFA you're trying to say? Because you spelled Fifi. yeah, he's probably saying FIFA. It says the ref hears you, you get a penalty. But well, still, that's very small in comparison. It doesn't, you know, it's not nothing like having. Imagine if Ghost Recon would take out that stupid crap they have behind the box.
Yes, that irritates.
And they
I
put
don't
in.
I don't know where you are, and I don't want you knowing where I went. That's kind of the point of those boxes.
Exactly, and they put in that feature where the other team can hear you, because you never can hear the other team speaking, which has always been stupid of me. or stupid to me, or rather.
Yeah.
That if I'm playing against a group of people, I want to be able, if they're talking and they're standing behind somewhere, yes, I want to find them that way, not because I can see their outline through the whatever they're standing behind. Stupidest feature I have ever seen in my life. Takes all the fun and surprise out of rounding the corner and seeing somebody there. And then you have to have a shootout because, you know, it's like one of us has got to go.
Exactly. I mean, if you're rolling and jumping and running around, I should be able to hear your shoes on the floor.
Yes. Yes.
And we can't. That would be awesome if they would do that. But no, for the most part, E3 so far is just kind of meh. We'll see.
Kind of blah. It's very boring. I know Joe last night was saying he missed a night. He missed his night for this. And by the way, Horace, yeah, we saw your tweets last night. We did see Need for Speed Most Wanted, and I was impressed with what they were showing us, but I need to see some more of the gameplay because they tend to go into repetitive mode when they do Need for Speed.
Yeah.
I really wish EA would meld Need for Speed and Burnout together. It would be the most awesome game ever on planet Earth if they would just give that to me. But they keep trying to go in this weird directions. And they said something about SimCity. I'm not even going to watch anything about SimCity until you guys are nearly done with it. And I'm telling you now, if it's like the Sim Social, I'm going to drive to L.A. and I'm going to throw it at somebody. The first person that I say, did you work on SimCity? Yes. Bam! In the face with the case. Sorry. That's the kind of mood I'm in today.
Oh, that was the other one. God of War looked pretty cool. War fighting game. It's God of War all over again. But, I mean, big fights. Yeah. Fools everywhere. It was kind of cool.
Mm. Well, of course, we will be talking some more about E3, our Thursday night show, when you guys can actually join in. You can sit in the chat room. You can call in and talk about it. We decided this last night. was it J.K. Rowling's book that you were talking about that they were doing that with?
Well, yeah, it was her book, too, but there's another one, and I can't remember what the name of it was. There was one before it, and it was... I don't remember.
Well, I know she's doing something for PlayStation, and I'll jump in with that so we can get on.
That one was kind of neat, but kind of lame.
She said kind of neat, but kind of lame. Okay, so we'll tell you about this. It's going to be called PlayStation's Wonder Book. And, of course, you know who J.K. Rowling is. She's the author of Harry Potter. And this is her first, I believe, game from Harry Potter world that's on PlayStation, or augmented reality peripheral thing. It's supposed to be designed to look like a real book, and you interact with the Wonder Book using the PlayStation Move controller to create and manipulate digital effects. And, of course, thanks to the PlayStation Eye camera, everything happens with you in the center of the action. They're saying you and the Wonder Book appear live on your television while waving the mouse over the book to translate to magical on-screen results in real time. This is from casting the levitation spell, the Wingardium Leviosa, which, yeah, we all know the spells here. That's right. We're geeky. Supposed to bring your dragon to life. They're saying it's supposed to bring to life this whole new realm of educational possibilities. I beg to differ. But the first DVD...
Like I said, I really feel like that just kind of kills... The use of your imagination.
It does. It's going to be called Rowling's Book of Spells. It's supposed to take place inside the Harry Potter universe and makes you a talented student learning spells from the ancient tome penned by Miranda Goshawk. Yeah, she's not one that I remember reading. The game is supposed to teach you 20 spells, the art of magical dueling, among other things, and the PlayStation Move is supposed to serve as your wand. I am not feeling this at all. JK, I think your best Harry Potter game was actually on the Wii. I don't know how this is going to work. You guys have heard me talk about the Wii version before. That's one of the most awesome games they made for the Wii that didn't get a whole lot of hype. I don't think you were any of the characters. You may have been Harry, but she could have done the same premise here. They could have made you a character and you had to help Harry, you know, kind of did the way they did the Lord of the Rings games. If you ever played any of those, you were not, in some of the games, you weren't any of the main characters, but everything you did affected what happened to them. Like when they were going to Isengard, you had to kill so many orcs or they got overrun and they didn't make it, something. I don't know what it was, but they could have done the same thing here. But I liked the whole, it was not a book with the, with the Wii version. You learn the spells, you know, by motion, of course, but everything actually vibrated and moved, you know, when you got hit with a spell, the Wiimote would vibrate almost violently, so you know you were hit, and there was no mistake in which direction it came from, all kinds of things. But I think they picked this one up from, ironically, from the iPad. This same game is on the iPad, almost identical, except for they don't cast you as a character. There's the book, there's the spells, you have to learn them. You can play it with your iPhone, you can duel with people that have iPhones. So I think that's what they were testing out, and then JK decided to bring it to PlayStation instead of Xbox, because Xbox doesn't have a controller to hold as a wand. See why it's only going to be on PlayStation? Xbox, you should have made a prop. I'm just not feeling blah.
Yeah, Totally. And like I said, that's what I said. I was kind of like, really? Really, people?
Just horrible. I put my lotion on. I'm tired of talking about y'all people at E3. What you got, Ginge?
I have got all sorts of fun stuff. So let me see. I was just pulling up the Nintendo press conference so I can watch it in a little bit. Yes, yes. All right. Oh, this is cool. And this may be something I wish that I were sharing my screen for. Minecraft-themed wedding shows the building blocks of love.
Oh.
Yeah, a friend of mine from Second Life, thank you, person, I'm not going to say your name, sent me this link last night.
Thank you, person. Person? Right. Would this be that person?
No, not that
one. Ooh, look at the voice. Got all soft and delicious. Look at that. It was like hot melted cookies. Tell us about it. Anyway.
Anyways. Seen one wedding, seen them all. Right, wrong. Matt Dunn and Asia Ramirez recently tied the knot at their Minecraft-themed wedding. The wedding and reception were lovingly captured by Sacramento photographers Lisa and Geoff Bardot on of the
Matt and Asia?
Huh?
It's Matt and Asia?
Matt and Asia. Mm-hmm. While themed weddings are nothing new, we think it's safe to say Matt and Asia took theirs to a whole other level. There were Minecraft-styled block figure ducks, dogs, and more. Asia wore a diamond necklace inspired by the Bricktacular game. Similarly, the groom's tie was inspired by Minecraft. The party was a team effort. Friends helped to paint the 100-plus cardboard boxes used for trees and a cave. Oh, my God. All right, and y'all are going to have to forgive me because I'm kind of looking at the pictures.
Ginger.
And off. I know. All right, so anyways, wow. Matt and Asia first met in church but quickly built a house together.
They met in church.
Kind of. Yeah, see, church. The house they created was in the wild world of Minecraft and helped bring them closer together. Apparently, they did speak to Matt on his big day. He says, I will never forget the very first time Asia and I joined a game of Minecraft together. We were just standing there in awe of this beautiful 8-bit world before us, but we quickly started searching for a place to build a house. I told Asia that the bad guys come out at night, and having seen me play the game previously, she didn't want to waste any time getting shelter. We found a nice spot overlooking a cove, Asia took the view, and we immediately made a crude house out of dirt and wood. Aw, that's so cute.
Oh, then they're going to live together and hate each other in about 6 months.
Things got built, she realized that we didn't have any food, so she kicked me out to find some wild pigs and cows to hunt. While I was out, I would look over at her face, and her eyes were glowing with excitement. This wasn't just a building game. This was her time to build a home with the guy she loved. Oh, that's so cute. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so after a while, I noticed she was giggling, so I ran back home to find that she had built a sign in the doorway saying, I love you, with a little smiley face written on it. I'm going to cry. I know, right? Suffice to say, my heart melted then, and I'm pretty sure it's remained a puddle since.
Oh, come on.
That is, these pictures, I'm going to give you this link. You have to check this out because this goes on, and I'm going to also put this up on Twitter so you people can check this out because literally I'm going to cry if I keep reading this. This is just that.
Ew, Ginger, stop it. Ew.
It's that whole leaf fountain thing. I don't like it, but seriously, oh my goodness, she is sitting on a creeper. That is cute. Oh, so cute.
Oh, gosh. Oof. Dry heat. Okay. So, as usual, if we were actually at E3 this year, we would probably not be telling you about all the bigger people because they annoy us. We tend to love our indie games. So, of course, the indie games people are inundating us with mail this morning. InnoGames are out at 3D and probably in the South Hall, you know, where they put all the redheaded stepchildren. They have announced a new game that they're launching this year. It's based on the Unity 3D platform and is supposed to focus strongly on co-op PvP gameplay with several little role-playing elements. They are based, the company that they're working with is based out of Hamburg and it's called Ticking Bomb Games, and they're responsible for the development of the title, which is set to launch in 2012. The name of the game is Cartuga. It gives players a peek into the stylized fantasy world. If you go over to their website, it's supposed to have 9 screenshots and features list. InnoGames co-founder Ike Kleindworth. I love your name, dude. And it's not spelled I-K-E-E. It's E-I-K-E. Ike. He says he's convinced of the game's potential and is looking forward to the success of the company's first joint venture with Ticking Bomb Games. He says, we're bringing out high-quality products with Cartuga. Tender, are you gone bye-bye? You know what? That's crazy when you do that. He sounds like...
I'm still here.
Crazy. Scared me. I said, no, Tender's gone. Okay, anyway, the game is supposed to offer multiple PvP modes, intuitive controls, plus detailed and vibrant 3D graphics. This action MMOG is extremely useful. They're saying is an extremely useful addition to InnoGames' portfolio. The developer also has high expectations for the title. He says, we've been working hard on this project for some years now, and the results are fantastic. The players are completely the player completely loses the feeling of playing in a browser with Cartuga. It really stands up to the client games. In Cartuga, of course, players choose to be one of three customizable. Why can't I not talk today? I have a whole stutter thing going. Customizable classes of ships to sail through a series of quests and missions. The ingenious battle system, along with a strong focus of co-op PvP, guarantees long-lasting fun. Yay. At current, InnoGames has 80 million registered players and is supposed to be one of the world's leading developers and providers of online games. The company, again, is based in Hamburg, and they've scored major successes with games such as Tribal Wars, The West, and Greopolis. And currently, they have around 180 professionals working worldwide. Work it out, y'all.
Work it out.
They're saying either you're losing it on air or I am. I'm not really sure.
Losing it?
They might be a little behind in their comments. You know, remember we're 30-second...
Who's saying this?
Jay. And everybody's retweeting our congrats to Matt and Asia on their Minecraft-themed wedding. Sweet. I tweeted that.
That's so sweet.
We like to give our gamers some love, and that's what it's supposed to be about, the reason why we do this, our own community. Do you mind if I do...
No, you go right on ahead. I was trying to see what Jay was saying.
Uh-oh, Jay, you about to get cut. Okay.
Cutting out, I want to know.
Also out at E3 are our people from Turbine. Turbine, who's been really laying low for the past few years. Why are you guys not coming out with anything else? They are launching their new expansion pack to Lord of the Rings Online called The Riders of Rohan. I added the in the front because it just doesn't sound right the other way.
Yay.
It's going to launch September 5th, just in time for you people who are like me who only like to play MMOs when it's fall or winter. You may pre-purchase the fourth major expansion to this award-winning MMO starting today. Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment and Turbine announced that The Riders of Rohan, which is going to be the next expansion to free-to-play MMO. Stop texting me. No. September the 5th. Oh, wow. You're going to get all of y'all are going to be cut. Katie Pates is the executive producer of the Lord of the Rings Online. Kate Pates. I'm sorry, Kate, who I got the pleasure of meeting a couple years ago. Kate is rather awesome. She talks just as much as I do. So, you know, we talk for like hours. It was horrible. Riders of Rohan, she says, is our biggest expansion yet and raises the bar technically and artistically, much like the Mines of Moria did in 2008. Oh, God. That reminds me. This was the one I fell asleep during.
Uh-oh.
It wasn't that it was boring. It was that I had been on flight for like 6 hours, and I got off and came straight to the Lord of the Rings presentation, and the guy was talking to me, and I fell asleep, and I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm just exhausted. I can't stay awake. Anyway, they're introducing the largest area that they've ever built and a combat system unlike anything that has been built before in MMOs. This is, we're excited for players to be able to continue the epic story as players immerse themselves in the Realm culture and support King Théoden himself as they strive to keep the Eyes of Mordor distracted from the Ringbearer's task. Man, it sure has taken him a long time to get that ring there.
I know, right? Seriously, I mean, how long has this been now? A year? 5 years? Something like that?
Of course, me and this lady talked for days. We did. We talked for days and days and days. It was horrible. Actually, it was fun. I got y'all some keys. That's where I got that all that, remember when I came back with the Lord of the Rings stuff? That's how I got it. All those, the turbine points and money that we gave.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, she handed me like 500 of those things, and people were like, why don't we get any? She said, she gets them because she's a girl, that's why.
You don't have a vagina.
I felt so proud.
I totally went there first thing in the morning.
All right, so apparently in this particular level, I'm going to cut this short because they're out of E3, so they're giving us all the goods. You can advance to level 85 now. They're saying they have a few pre-purchase orders if you're into the game. There's a Legendary Edition, which includes the full Riders of Rohan expansion. Plus, you get the Steed of Estimate. I'm not going to tell you what that is. Go look it up. Armor of East Estimate, Friend of the Mark, which is supposed to be a title. I'll tell you what that one is. You get another inventory bag, which has 15 additional storage slots. Hot. That's hot for any game. Crystal of Remembrance. What else? Oh, you get a Rohan Elite Guard Stated Cloak. Yeah. The Outriders Token, which is a 25% XP boost for some of you out there. Rohirrim Soldier on Landscape Appearance. You can customize your soldier to look like you're from Rohirrim. In the Heroic Edition, you get all of that and some other quest packs. Like, looks like 650 new quests, 10 fellowship instances, and 2 raids. Oh, they got a lot of stuff. See, this is what you do when you give somebody a pack. The only thing that's missing is some real-world element. Of course, they said you'll have access to all the bonus items, including the Seed of Estimate and blah, 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 when you hit level 20, if you buy it in advance. Again, you can play this September 5th. Gosh, they have a lot of information here. I'm trying to sift through it. Pop over to lotro.com to get the full list, they say. And, of course, if you're out in L.A., go ahead and pop by and visit them at E3. They did not provide their booth number. Bad Lord of the Rings. I can't tell them where to go.
Bad. But I'm sure you can probably see it, hopefully.
No. The main floor of E3 is houses EA, Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo. And anybody else that manages to get in, they slept with somebody to do it. Trust me.
Oh.
Everybody else is, you know, find you when we find you. You are off to the side somewhere. It's just ridiculous. Actually, I think Microsoft had their whole own hall. You think of the convention center and how it has the halls, you know, usually they're broken off into little booths. No, Microsoft had their own hall and guarded with security, and they want your thumbprint and your firstborn and stuff.
Oh, wow.
I'm kidding.
No, firstborn. I don't have one of those yet.
Yeah, well, you couldn't get in, though. You couldn't just walk in.
All right, so what do we got? Oh, there's a new survey out, and it's over on GamePolitics.com this morning, and I'm going to talk about it now because the Nintendo press conference should be starting in 30 minutes, I think. Mm-hmm. Really bad at this whole time difference thing. But anyway, so survey says we don't want a Wii U.
Oh?
Uh-huh. According to a Deal News survey accompanied by Handy Dandy Infographic, which is over on GamePolitics.com, that polled 1,551 Deal News readers, the Xbox 360 is the gaming console of choice, according to 38% of respondents. PC gaming consoles came in second with 27% of those surveyed, followed by 20% who said they use the PS3, and a 6% said that they play exclusively on their smartphones. Both Android and iPad tablets combined received 4% support as a gaming platform. Only 2% said they used the PlayStation Vita or Nintendo DS. When it comes to spending, 46% of gamers said they spent $41 to $60 on a single game, while 73% said that they would be willing to spend money on a mobile game. Yeah, I am so not willing to spend money on a mobile game.
I don't do it. I think I've done exactly one mobile game, and that was Game Dev Story.
Yeah, I think there's maybe one.
And that's because it's awesome.
Yeah. So the majority of respondents, 33%, said they would drop about $1.99 to $4.98 on an app or a game, while only 3% said they'd be willing to spend $9.99 or more on a mobile game. Oh, hell no. That thing better do, like, everything for me. Better, like, scrub my floors. $10? No. Around 55% of respondents also said that they would be willing to purchase a mobile version of a console game, but 42% said that they would only do that if the mobile version was cheaper. Of all system owners, PS3 owners are the thriftiest, with 32% saying that they would only buy a mobile game if it was free. So we're going to break it down. I'm just going to skip right on down to the Nintendo part. It said, finally, Nintendo might not be happy to hear that 75% of those surveyed said that they were not interested in buying the Wii U, and 64% of current Wii owners aren't interested either. Of course, as more first- and third-party titles are revealed this week at E3, that number is going to change dramatically. We'll see. We'll see, because, you know, if we're judging from the Wii really doesn't have that many great third-party games, you know? They had really bad support for third parties. So unless Nintendo turns that around, I don't see this. I want a Wii U. But then again, hey, do you see what I do?
You got that a little wrong. It's not that the Wii did terrible. The Wii kicked ass the whole time it was out.
The Wii kicked ass, and it still does.
But now this new one, like I said, I can't I can't really figure it in when they say, no, we don't want a Wii U, because it's not out yet. You're comparing it to consoles that are out.
Yeah. Well, I guess what I'm saying is that Nintendo, when the Wii came out, they had their Nintendo games that they supported, but they didn't really support these third-party developers in making really good games, especially with this whole motion control.
They did okay. They didn't... They could have done a lot better. And things that they did allow some third-party games, but this is kind of them. They didn't do it as much as the other consoles do,
yeah.
where they step their toe out of their own pond.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to put Call of Duty on the Wii. Really,
it was
you know, the Wii was made as a family console, and you were doing good when you kept it in that realm. When they started trying to venture out, it didn't work too well. And some games do work well. I think Resident Evil is one I would actually prefer to play on the Wii because I have to, you know, move around and try to shoot. But other games, I didn't need Call of Duty, and they're like, oh, it's a four-player split screen. No, I don't like my screen split at all.
And no, that annoys me because then I'm too busy looking at somebody else's screen and not my own.
I hate it. The only console I think I could tolerate it on would be the PlayStation with that 3D, or the Vita that has a 3D thing. That doesn't look like a split screen. When I have my glasses on, it looks like I'm by myself. But that other stuff, I'm like, there would never be any screen splitting at my house while we're playing. None of these games are allowed in the house because they have split screen. No.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm way too ADD for that. That whole, you know, there's something shiny, an explosion, something happened. I'm looking at your little square instead of mine, and then I die.
Ah, good God, you people. Okay, so I got a quick bit that came in. This
what
is somebody who's not at E3, actually. Actually, the people of Verizon Wireless sent this over. There's an author named Yushan Yang, and she... I'm trying to... I hate when they send this over. Verizon's crazy. Why do y'all... Yeah. Okay, so anyway, there's a new author who's using something called the Go Payment on her 4G LTE Droid Bionic. It's supposed to help her. She uses it to process cards. She sells children's books. And that's how she's selling them. They wanted us to mention her for some odd reason. It says it helps her go to shows and do them at the last minute. I only wanted to mention her because we were talking about books earlier and how they're trying to digitize them. I love the idea that she goes around to trade shows and it says she goes to schools and if she has to go at a minute's notice and she wants to sell her books, she has one of those little scanny things. They've been advertising something else on TV similar that you can get for free. It allows you to attach it to your droid. You know, to plug in as a peripheral, and then you can use it to scan credit cards and pay right there. So, but this is how she makes all of her money, and she owns a children's book company, and I think that's absolutely awesome. Miss Yushan Yang, if I see you out somewhere, I'm buying books from you. So that's the way you use your technology, the way you're supposed to. Okay, that was very short, and thank you, Verizon, for not giving us much more information than that. Can you read this? Yeah, we do, but you need to give us more information. I need more than a screenshot of her using the... Why do they do it?
No idea.
Okay, but I have another longer one.
Oh, yeah? What you got?
There's a mobile company that's doing something. Oh, wow. Of a new, their freemium mobile title.
Oh,
does not want to stay with
me. That was kind of hot, though. You need to say that again.
Did I clear my throat?
I don't know. It's you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's hot. Because my voice is going. Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah. I thought.
The name of this company is called Freeze Tag. They're supposed to be, the head of all mobile phone games, the king of blah, 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 tablets. But they're given their sneak peek of two of their new freemium social mobile titles over at E3 today, called Party Animals and The Grim Reaper. The games are designed from the ground up to be free to download, but will, of course, incorporate in-app purchases for various games and in-game currency. While a strong social component is built into both, the two games differ in art style and gameplay mechanics. The object of Party Animals is to build a fun party for your friends. This is from Craig Holland, Chief Creative Officer of Freeze Tag. He says there's literally hundreds of different ways to customize your party and share ideas with your friends, all in a whimsical cartoon world. In The Grim Reaper, you're tasked with hunting for cleverly hidden objects buried in Grimm's fairy tales while battling death to save the fairy tale world, says Craig Holland. The art style is visually stunning and unexpected renderings of scenes from classic fairy tales. Boo! It's not what I was hoping it was going to be. With the addition of new titles to its growing stable of mobile games, Freeze Tag says they're well-positioned with the global freemium mobile game space, or within the space. Mm-hmm. They said it's a market that's on track to hit $16 billion by 2016, according to ABI Research. And they said they make smart, family fun games. Whoa, chill out, people.
I know, Twitter's like going crazy this morning.
Yes. So
I love you guys.
Family-friendly games for smartphones, tablets, PCs. Yeah, you're getting them too. You can check out their website at freezetag.com. I'm still waiting for somebody to just, since you all are so morbid, I really want a game where I get to play death. Don't you agree? Where you get to play death and your job is kind of like a, here's what would have made a perfect game instead of a movie. What's that game, Final Destination?
Mm-hmm.
That would have made the perfect game if you got to be death and you had to figure out how to bring all these elements together to kill the person. I love the idea. I said this back in like 2005. Who out there disagrees with me? Would that not be the coolest game ever? It doesn't have to, well, it'll be gruesome because none of y'all, some of y'all don't care. It doesn't faze you. Have you seen Final Destination, Junior?
No, I've not. I try to avoid scary movies. Girls will like scream and like jump around and yeah.
This is not traditionally scary, but it and things, as you know, things don't scare me. This is one of the ones that unnerved me when I came out because the weirdest things would lead to the person dying. Like they'd open the door and pick up the mail, and then you'd see like maybe the mail would fall out of their hand on the front step, and you'd be like, okay, how's this gonna play in? They go back inside, the stove would catch on fire. You'd be like, aha, that's how they're gonna die. No, somebody would ring the doorbell. It would be the delivery man. They'd run outside, grab the mail, slip on the letter, and bam, hit their head and they're dead. But it's a whole string of things that has to happen. So I think that would have made an excellent game if they made a game like that. You had to be death, and you had to figure out how you had elements in a room you had to bring together to kill a person. And it was done against the clock. Tell me it wouldn't be a hot game.
That would be so totally hot.
See, Darky saying he says, play that game. It'd be awesome. I told one of the... I don't know, somebody in a bar, one of these things. It's always a bar involved when you go to these conferences. A whole lot of drunk people in L.A. right now. Hangover.
Drunk people!
That's why you don't get good news when they go to L.A. from E3. That's why, because everybody's drunk.
Can we be drunk Thursday?
We maybe could. That would be interesting. You know what? I'm not going to drink. Y'all drink. We'll talk about it. Y'all drink. If I drink, I'm going to get mean or something. And then...
Yeah, Corey's not allowed to drink.
I'm not allowed to drink. Somebody's feelings will be hurt at the end of the night. My feelings may be hurt. I may be
me too busy giggling. I won't care.
I may point at myself and be mad. What are you doing? Yeah, so that's not a good idea. Anyway, Juju, what do you got? Because we're all over the place.
I have got all sorts of fun stuff. All right, so, this is not fun. Blaster mentioned this last night. Hey, Blaster, how you doing? THQ closes San Diego studio, fires staff.
Yep.
What started out as rumors on Twitter has been confirmed. THQ has quietly shut down its San Diego studio and has let everyone that works there go today. This came out yesterday afternoon, and I'm going to lose my voice.
Yeah, you too? Mm-hmm. Mine don't want to play.
You know, it wouldn't be bad if the weather would stop changing. Hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold. It's killing me.
Word.
Seriously, I've got like two friends that have pneumonia right now, and it's summer in Texas.
Joe says you and a friend of mine should get together and make that game. You tell your friend I'm calling copyright live on the air. I see my game. I'm going to need a percentage of royalties. I'm not going to stop you from making it. I just want some of the money. See how I roll? I understand. Yeah. I understand.
All right. Okay. So some have speculated that the game, what are we talking about? THQ. Some have speculated that the company did this on the first day of E3 press conferences to avoid media scrutiny. Yeah, I think so. The studio was working on a new UFC title, but with the news today that THQ has worked out a deal with the UFC owner Zuffa, anyways, and hey, to let them take over the rights to make games, that project is dead in the water. THQ confirmed that changes were afoot at the studio, but made it sound like the transition for employees won't be all that bad. THQ confirms that today's announcement regarding the UFC license transition will affect the company's San Diego studio. THQ is working closely with those relevant staff to either find possible employment within the company or potentially with EA. So hopefully you get jobs. I'm glad that, you know, this didn't happen at Christmas time like those other companies were doing.
Oh, yeah.
But still.
It's not good. It's never a good time to get fired. All right. Well.
Yeah, you just, you know, spent money to go to E3. Hopefully the company reimburses you for that, but if not, you just spent all this money to go to E3, and hey, today you're fired. And can you imagine $200-$300 a night for a hotel room? You're going to stay all week. You rack up this nice bill, and then you come home to no job.
Yeah. So Joe, your friend is there listening. Tell him we said hi. Hi, Joe's friend. Okay. Really?
Hey, is your friend cute?
You know, see, I almost called you Snow Snow. She's usually her. I'm having to pull back. Snow, back up off the boy. Get off the boy. Here's some interesting news. We've been griping, and apparently somebody's been listening. According to a report over at GI.biz this morning, EKG, the online game retailer, says that they want to share their sales. And wait a minute. Is this the same story we got a few months ago? Apparently they rewrote it. I don't know. Okay, so anyway, they want to share their sales with the publishers, extending the deal to developers too. You know how we were talking about if you resell a game, everybody should get a percentage. They said they received some great feedback. Yeah, we did report about them. They received quite a bit of great feedback from both game consumers and industry folks and decided to split the 10% pre-owned game rebates to share 5% of the used game's selling price with the publishers and 5% with the developers. Founder Mike Kennedy told GI.biz yesterday. He said this would be anywhere from around $1 to $2.50 per game going to both publishers and developers each time one of their games changes hands in our marketplace. We'll be discussing this at E3, so they're out talking about it today. When we first mentioned them in May, Kennedy, who's the founder, Mike Kennedy, said that he explained that he hoped sharing revenue with publishers would help preserve box games for future generations. Kennedy also had news on the distribution side of things. He said, we're in discussions with a couple of large street retailers about distributing our new games in their stores across the USA via point-of-purchase kiosks to these retailers who currently don't have any video game presence and will benefit from the added traffic coming into their stores. Essentially, gamers can mail their games into us and pick their new games up on the street. These people are about to put GameStop out of effing business.
Yay! Oh, wait, no, wait.
Well, we don't want them to go out of business. We just want you guys to clean it up because they've pretty much been, you know, kind of had a, what do we want to call it, a monarchy, a dictatorship, communism, gaming communism, whatever you want to call it.
Gaming communism. Nice.
So I think they're about to take them on in a major way. We've been saying this for years, and I don't know why publishers and developers did not ever pick this up and run with it, because it just made sense to me. That's how the record industry does it. That's how movies do it. If it sells again, we get a portion of it. That's how they keep the money coming in. That's how we keep the stars rich. Although some of our developers don't need to be rich. Geeks with money is not always a pretty thing. Or at least if you're going to have money and be a geek, we need to be in your lap. One of us. Or all of us at the same time. It can happen. Right, Ginger?
Mm-hmm.
Ginger,
yes,
you're
right.
Muted. You're muted.
I know. I muted myself. I'm sorry. Yeah. I was still laughing over the whole communism thing.
The gaming communism.
Gaming communism.
Okay, I got to do this because it's for the little people. Because they never get their E3 news either. And Baby Natrix is out at camp this week, so she won't hear this until later. But when she gets back, well, she's going to hate this part because of some what she calls baby characters. I'm too big for those. But some of you who have little people, little people that aren't trying to wear lip gloss, will be happy to hear 2K and Nickelodeon have teamed up on several new video games that celebrate some of their characters on their channel. Dora the Explorer, Bubble Guppies, and Team Uzi Na... Wait a minute. Umizoomi? Yeah, there we go. So it's going to be available coming this fall, as well as Nickelodeon Dance 2 for console systems, which is supposed to be built on its predecessor, Nickelodeon Dance, featuring some of their favorite Nickelodeon characters. Let me see. Yeah, of course, there'll be characters from Bubble Guppies. Bubble Guppies is the top-rated CG animated preschool series. If you have some little people, it makes a splash with its new video game debut, delighting Nintendo DS gamers with a watery world of laughter and learning. Rounding out the lineup, of course, are Dora and Team Umizoomi's Fantastic Flight for DS, which is supposed to bring together the mighty math superheroes of Team Umizoomi and the beloved Dora the Explorer for the very first time. There's another girl that's getting gypped out of her money. The girl that does the Dora the Explorer voice? Yeah. Nickelodeon didn't want to pay her. Nickelodeon Dance 2 builds on the active fun for children's moms, teachers, grandparents, and had that they had with their original dance sensation by adding new songs, characters, and twists. Why can't I talk today? This is from Steve Lux, Vice President of Business Development for 2K Play. He says, on the portable front, we're delighted to introduce games based on preschoolers' favorite new Nickelodeon properties, including Bubble Guppies and Team Umizoomi, providing the perfect opportunity to play learning games on the go. They said their new titles exemplify Nickelodeon's ongoing commitment of simulating and developing preschoolers' minds through play and education. That was from Charisse Torres, who's the Senior Vice President of Home Entertainment, DTO, and Video Game Licensing, and Nickelodeon Consumer Products. You go, girl. So kids love singing and dancing and interacting with characters from their favorite preschooler series. In Nickelodeon Dance 2, gamers of all ages can dance, sing, and work out more with more Nickelodeon friends than ever before. 30 all-new tracks include chart toppers from hit Nick Jr. TV shows like The Fresh Beat Band, Bubble Guppies, Dora the Explorer, Team Umizoomi, and The Backyardigans. I do used to like The Backyardigans. Original dance routines are under development with the guidance of Emmy-recognized children's they don't say who it is. He's a children's dance choreographer. You can check them out at their Facebook page if you've got little people at facebook.com/2kplay. And if you have little ones and you're trying to figure out how to tire them out, this is the best way to do it. Put their butts in front of this and let them dance until they are sick. And they will do it for hours until they literally pass out. It'll be quiet, and you'll go in, and they'll be asleep on the floor. It happens all the time. I do that often. I let Baby Natrix play Dance Central until she cannot stand up anymore. I'll be like, do it again. Do the song again. Or just dance three. Dance it again. You didn't do that move right. Let me see you do it again. Oh, go. Go, girl. Oh, you're tired. Oh, come here, sweetie.
That's awesome.
Let's go get you in the bed.
That's nice. So, Joe says his friend is actually in school for game development.
What branch of game development? Because just because you like to write the technical novel, the technical manuals, doesn't actually, you have to be careful about what they say.
I don't know. I asked. Does he need a lap warmer? Because, you know, I might know somebody.
Lord.
Just maybe. I'm going to volunteer Corey.
Me. I need pictures first.
I'm sorry, you need what first?
I need pictures first.
Pictures first. Is it cute, Joe? We need to know. This is something we need to know.
We need to know.
Right. So, time running out for cybersecurity bill, says Democratic congressman. I cannot talk. stop that. All right. So, TikTok says the clock and congressman Jim Langevin? Anyways, who said today that time is running out on passing the Senate's version of the cybersecurity bill. Perhaps he means that time is running out before the general public figures out just how awful it is. Speaking at West Point, Langevin admitted that there was still a gulf in opinions about the government's role in protecting private computer networks and that the divide has become an increasingly daunting barrier to passing reforms. But instead of relenting, he urged lawmakers to double down. The consequences of inaction are perilously high. Langevin, voted that the Cybersecurity Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act, CISPA, which we do not like, people, that passed the House in April. He called the bill an important step, but added that it doesn't do enough to protect critical infrastructure from attacks. He went on to say that the federal government should have the authority to require critical infrastructure to meet minimum security standards. House Republican leaders oppose cybersecurity mandates because they believe that they would impose burdens on businesses. Yes, and that, you know what, you do not need into my goat porn. is one of the primary stumbling blocks for cybersecurity legislation. It has precluded passage of a comprehensive cybersecurity package and has, in fact, prevented the consideration of any significant cybersecurity legislation in the Senate. The White House did not like CISPA, but has backed the Senate cybersecurity bill sponsored by Senators Joe Lieberman and Susan Collins. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid wants to bring the bill to a vote, but Senate Republicans may try to halt that vote. While Republicans may oppose it for the wrong reasons, free speech and privacy rights advocates will take whatever opposition they can get. True story. There is no reason for this kind of thing. I understand Hollywood is paying you a lot of money. And I'm sure you're enjoying those nice houses and nice cars and, you know, the nice thick lined pockets. But there's no reason for this kind of thing at all. We do not need Big Brother on the internet. I know it's the Wild West and that worries some of you. But it's really not like it used to be. It really is coming more into a cohesive form. It's okay. Leave it alone. It's all right. Okay? It'll be all right. I promise.
Sucks to be them. Okay. All right. Well, I am rather upset at this news. Zoom is officially dead. And I love my Zoom. She's sitting right here on the desk. I always loved my Zoom. I thought it was one of the more awesome players. But as of yesterday, the only music available on Microsoft's digital media platform, Zune, are funeral procession songs. Aww. The technology gaming giant has confirmed that the Zune brand will be heading to the graveyard, according to the New York Times. All Zune-related products and services will be rebranded under a new Xbox Music service, which Xbox announced yesterday during their E3 conference. Again, what is with them in the multimedia? Just stop it. The new Xbox Music service will extend a user's library of songs across multiple platforms, including your PC, smartphones, and tablets running the company's new Windows 8 operating systems. VentureBeat is reporting that it's also rumored to have a streaming playback similar to Spotify, as well as deep social integration with Facebook, which may be dying. Microsoft, way to go there. Microsoft is probably hoping that the Xbox brand will give its digital music efforts a fresh and exciting new appeal, basically everything that Zune currently isn't. But if you look back at Zune's history, they're saying it's easy to see why Microsoft decided that a revamp was needed. The company first launched Zune as an MP3 player in 2006 to compete with the iPod. And like the iPod, the Zune player came with its own desktop software to counter iTunes. But dismissal sales caused Microsoft to shutter the Zune player a few years later. As a result, Zune software efforts were diverted to the Windows Phone operating system, and the Zune marketplace was rerouted to the Xbox 360 game console. While the Zune is dead, it seems Microsoft's interest into digital music is only just beginning. I think this is a stupid idea. You guys should have revamped the freaking Zune and came back with something a little different. Because I got to tell you, this thing is indestructible. I dropped it just the other day when I was out trying to mow the grass. Remember I told you I was fighting with the lawnmower? Hit the pavement because, and I had it in my hand in the air. Hit the pavement from, you know, the 5'1" that I am. And bam.
A whole inch taller than Corey.
Not a scratch on it. I don't think they realized what they had. They just didn't give it time. They didn't really take time to brand it. Keep in mind when Apple.
The store was a pain in the ass to work through. That's the main thing. Had they not had it be such a headache, and they made it easier for people to use.
Yep. The only good redeeming feature that it had that iPod didn't have back then was you could you didn't have to plug in the Zune to sync it with whatever you downloaded from the store.
Yes, it was. I love that because I don't know what it is about Apple, but every time I'd go to sync my playlist, I would lose stuff.
Yeah.
I have free time. They're like, oh, you don't have the rights for this. Yes, I do. I paid you for it. Pick me off.
Fix it.
I don't know why, but the Zune never had that issue. You bought it, you downloaded it, you put it on there. It was there forever.
And you didn't even have to have it connected. You could stand next to your computer out in the yard, somebody else's computer.
Exactly.
Get on their network. It was good. And like I said, indestructible things are always good. That was Nintendo-esque. Mm-hmm. What?
What's going on?
He just told us, he said his friend's gay. Well, what was the point in all that? Duh. That's like waving chocolate in our face and then telling us we can't have any. That's mean, Joe. Just mean. Joe, I'm coming to your island and I'm kicking all your muddlings off for that.
You know what? I volunteer Blaster. All right. So. Hey,
if it's working, we'll do it.
Firing. I talked about CISPA. Anyway, story before that was about firing. Doesn't matter. This one is about hiring people. Epic hires former Big Huge Games employees for new Baltimore studio. Epic Games is putting together a brand new studio in Baltimore, comprised completely of former Big Huge Games employees. The team was part of 38 Studios before its financial troubles put the entire company in limbo. While Epic Games president Mike Capp says that there's a million things to work out, Anyways, the plan is to have these employees work as contractors. All of this work will be remotely because these employees will remain in Baltimore. Caps went on to say that the management of Big Huge Games approached them about the possibility of starting a new studio that would remain in Baltimore. He was particularly impressed with the fact that all these employees wanted to continue working together as a team. What the studio will work on is unknown, but at least they have jobs. Yay! So hopefully, and I know this is silly, but hopefully the guy with the very pregnant wife who went to the doctor and found out she didn't have insurance anymore, hopefully you now have insurance and you're taken care of, because yay! I know that had to have been a nightmare for you.
Oof, that's some stress and a half.
I can't imagine. I cannot imagine. I mean, you're pregnant, you're expecting a child, that's big responsibility, that's huge stress. You're at the doctor and they're like, oh, by the way, this doctor's appointment, which might have cost you $30 with with an insurance plan, you're now going to pay me $200.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's
horrible.
Ouch. Yeah.
Well, whew. Say hi to anybody else.
Are you okay?
I'm gonna need some ice. Okay, do we got time for more? You shush you.
I didn't do nothing.
Shush you. Well, let me throw this out there really quick, because then we gotta go. But I would tell you some of the EA news, but they just started sending it after their press conference yesterday. After they'd already showed us this stuff. I don't understand that. They do that every year. Over also at E3, Niko is introducing their Android tablet controllers, basically the Wii U. It's called the Fight Stick. Oh, wow. Come on, Corey, hold together. They're calling this, with the tablet evolving into a dedicated gaming platform, it has become our duty to supply the gamer that's want to embrace these devices with controls and functionality that they are accustomed to. It's from Chris Abogast, Director of Marketing at Niko Technologies. He says, at the same time, we have introduced our Free Fighter arcade stick that caters to the fans of fighting games who need precision, control, and customization options. Their E3 lineup is including the PlayPad Pro, which is their full-size wireless Bluetooth gaming controller for Android tablet devices. The controller features dual analog sticks, a D-pad, face buttons, and shoulder bumpers for a console-style control experience on the Android devices. Niko's complimentary Playground app will also offer backwards compatibility for other Android games and a variety of button mapping features, including customized controller layout. The PlayStation Pad Pro will be available at select retail stores nationwide by the holidays this year. The PlayPad, of course, is a travel-sized tablet controller with dual analog sliders and includes a collapsible table stand. See, somebody finally gets it right. You see that? Did we not say that's all you pretty much need since you're going to force us to do this? They said it also comes with a carrying case for console-like precision gaming on the go. Like the PlayPad Pro, the PlayPad controller includes Niko's Playground app and works with any Bluetooth-enabled device running Android 3.0 or higher. PlayPad will be available at select retail stores nationwide as well in the holidays. They also have the Free Fighter for PlayStation 3, which is an arcade-quality fight stick with 8 face buttons and a unique ambidextrous design for right or left-handed use. Compatible with all standard fighting games, their Free Fighter is made with authentic Japanese... Why can I not talk? Japanese Senwa Dushi arcade quality parts. Hush it. And includes an expandable base for comfort and security during the laptop use. Their Free Fighter includes 4 fully customizable macro buttons for quick access to combos, as well as 2 variable speed turbo buttons for fast, slow, or user-created tap speed. The Free Fighter will be available at select retail stores nationwide come September of this year, and it's going to be about $179. I say no. They also have out the Power Grip Pro and the Power Grip and a couple of other things called, what is this? Oh, it's a game for the little ones. Yo Gabba Gabba? Oh, it's for the little people. Nice. That's going to be on sale for $129. And they have the Broby Hip Pack will be available also for $29.99 for them to carry it around in. Make sure you get that if you got little people. That's a lot of money. If you are out in Los Angeles, you can go and check out these items at their booth, because they gave their booth number. It's in the West Hall, 5,000. Did I not say everybody that was not EA is in the West Hall? Did I not say it? So go ahead and check them out. And it is time for us to cut and run. I will see you guys later on tonight. Make sure you are watching Pixinista. Yes, notice I use the word watching. Keep an eye on our Twitter and we'll explain more later. Ginger, would you like to tell the guys goodbye?
Yes, I would. Later, boys and girls.
Mwah. Oh, she did it early.
Hey, you know, I thought maybe you said cut run, so I thought you were going.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you're impatient.
You know what? I'll catch you later.
Is that my doorbell?
GLaDOS is not going to let this play. This is not my day. I swear it's not my day.
It's going to be your day. All right.
Bye, y'all. See y'all
next time. Bye.